welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuttenham, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. When the vinyl record became popular in the 1950s, millions of older records were consigned to the junk pile. I'm going to trawl through those records and find out what life was like before vinyl. To start the programme this week, we have a jolly little flight of fancy from Harry Bidgood and his broadcasters. Me and Jane in a plane.
And bless the bride. I'll be keeping my eye on the man in the moon. He's a dangerous guy when he starts to spoon. My kiss off shore, a million an hour. No traffic cop will ever stop me and Jane in a plane.
That was Me and Jane in a Plane, played by Harry Bidgood and his broadcasters in the autumn of 1927. The name of the band, the Broadcasters, had a double significance. Firstly, Harry Bidgood's band actually did broadcast from time to time, but the second reason was that this recording appeared on the Broadcast record label. By 1927, the craze for wireless was taking hold, rather like the internet nowadays, and anything relating to broadcasting was eagerly snapped up by the public. These little 8-inch broadcast records were aimed at the popular market and sold for only a shilling initially and 1 3 later, instead of the half crown or 3 6 of the upmarket labels. Very little survives in the form of recordings from the earliest days of broadcasts. If a performance was repeated, it was just done live for a second time in the studio. Disc recording was an unreliable and highly skilled process, which was only practical under the control of experts in a specialist studio. Furthermore, it took several days to process a wax disc for playback. This means that during the first 5 years of the BBC's existence, there's almost no trace left of any programmes that were broadcast during the wireless craze that swept the country. Unless, of course, a record company thought that they might be worth issuing for public sale. This little broadcasting gem turned up on the Edison Bell label. It's a recording of the popular radio comedienne Mabel Constanduras. Her broadcasting career began in the 1920s when she wrote and performed a series of sketches about an imaginary radio family, the Bugginses. During the Second World War, the Bugginses were used to convey Ministry of Food propaganda to the listening public, and as late as the 1950s, by now in her 70s, she was appearing in television programmes such as the Wurzel Gummidge series. Here is Mabel Constant-Duras in December 1927, playing the voices of the harassed Mrs. Buggins, her children Alfie and Emma, and Gran, who lives with them, in an episode called Baby and the Silkworm. Alfie is bored with his toys and wants to go for a tram ride.
Can I have a tram ride, Mother?
No, Alfie, you cannot have a tram ride. Play with your engine, do, and stop worrying.
Well, if I can't have a tram ride, can I play with my silkworm?
Oh, do as you like, only don't keep all on worrying. I've got Grandma's bonnet to trim.
Mother?
Alfie, if you speak once more, I'll give your silkworms to the cat.
But why be swallowed,
Alfie? What did I tell you?
But Bibi swallowed one.
Swallowed what?
A silkworm, Mother.
Naughty little boy, why didn't you tell me before? Come here, Bibi. Come to Mother. Bibi, cough it up, ducky. Cough up the nasty silkworm like a good girl.
What's the matter?
Bibi swallowed a worm.
Swallowed a germ?
What germ? A worm, a silkworm.
Oh.
Oh, Lord, Grandma, can't you say something besides oh? What shall I do about it?
You better do something. I knew a child that swallowed a worm, and it twined round its heart and stifled it.
Well, what shall I do?
I should hold her up by the heels, if she was mine, till the worm dropped out.
Go on, Father, pick her up and hold her by the heels. That's right, quickly. All right, Ducky, Daddy's only having a game. It don't seem to be doing no good, Grandma.
Well, you can't expect the worm to worry itself for you. Perhaps it's happy where it is and don't want to come up.
You know how long she got to hang head downwards, Grandma?
I'll give it time.
She's going blue, Father. Put her down. Do you want to asphyxiate the child? There, Ducky. Did her daddy nearly choke her then? Oh, Father, what are we to do?
Couldn't we charm it up, Mother?
Couldn't we rot it up, Emma?
Charm it up. Like snake charmers do snakes with music.
That's it. Give us your penny whistle, Alfie, quick. Now, Father, you play, and I'll make Baby keep her mouth open so the silkworm can hear it. Baby, open her mouth, Ducky. Go on, Father. Can you see anything down there, Alfie?
No, Mother. Doesn't Father play lovely?
Be quiet, Alfie. You'll frighten the silkworm.
You play up, Father. Don't play anything so soothing.
You'll make it go to sleep and we shall never get it out. Start something lively. That's better. See anything, Alfie?
No, Mother. Perhaps it thinks Father's a blackbird and it's frightened to come up.
Oh, Lord, Father, you'd better stop. We must think of something else. I know. Alfie, fetch one of the mulberry leaves. We'll tie a piece of cotton to it and make her swallow it. And then the silkworm will bite it and we'll pull it up.
You'll have to put a bent pin in to hook into the silkworm's gullet.
Yes, and what about poor Baby? Suppose it hooked into her gullet.
Martha, shall we take her to the doctor? We can get there on the tram.
Come on, Father, hurry up. There's no time to be lost. There's no knowing what that silkworm will be up to when poor Baby's inside. Come on, Alfie. Don't leave you behind. You're too mischievous. Hurry up, Grandma. You old Baby, Father. Don't shake her, for goodness sake. We don't want to agitate the silkworm. It might get savage and bite her, poor little thing. If there's a tram, hold your hand up, Father. No good standing smiling at a tram. That won't make it stop. Here we are. Get in, Grandma. Come on, Alfie. Be careful now. Don't tread on people's feet. No, you can't see out of the window. You sit still. 3 penny ones, please.
What? You don't charge for children, do you?
Why, Alfie, 8 4 years old yet.
Oh, Mother, I'm 7.
You be quiet, Alfie. If you talk so much, your tongue will drop out.
It will.
Here, Baby, sit still, Ducky, so the nasty worm won't peck her inside.
If you think silkworms are poison, Grandma.
Aye.
I say, do you think silkworms is poison?
Oh, depends on which month they was hatched.
Or what do you think the doctor will do to her, Grandma?
Oh, he'll give her an epidemic. That he won't. I'll watch it. I meant an epidemic injunction to put her to sleep.
Oh, here we are. Stop the chance, Father. Come on, Grandma, we've got to get out.
Oh, pull her out, Emma. There's no time to waste.
Come on, Alfie, or the tram will take you straight to prison.
Yes, it will.
Oh, I do hope the doctor's at home. Ring the bell, Father.
No, Alfie, you can't wait outside. Goodness knows what you'll get up to. You've done enough harm for one afternoon, feeding your little sister with silkworms.
Think yourself lucky I haven't given you to a policeman.
Oh, is Dr. Richards at home?
Ask him to see us at once, please. Say it's a matter of life and death.
Stop here, Alfie. Do you want me to speak to you again?
Oh, is that you, Doctor? Baby's swallowed a dreadful great silkworm. Can you do anything for her?
Yes, I know it's a difficult thing to swallow, but she seems to have managed it.
Have we noticed what, sir? Grandma, have we noticed any signs of internal disturbance?
Infernal disturbance?
I didn't think there was. Now, Doctor, I didn't see her swallow it, but Alfie did. Alfie, come and tell the gentleman how you saw poor baby swallow the silkworm. Go on, Alfie. Did you or did you not see poor baby swallow the silkworm?
No, Mother.
What? You didn't? Then how do you know she swallowed it?
Eh?
If you don't answer, my lad, I'll ask the doctor to give you a good big dose of his dark red physic. And you know what that tastes like.
She never swallowed it at all.
What? She never swallowed it at all? Then what made you say she had? Eh? You naughty little boy.
I wanted a tram ride.
Mabel Constanduras there, playing the entire Buggins family in 1927. Incidentally, the BBC scriptwriter, Dennis Constanduras, was to follow in his Auntie Mabel's footsteps when, for many years, he wrote a highly successful radio comedy series about a West Country village family called the Luscombes. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. In the early days of the BBC, it wasn't just the performers who became radio personalities. The announcers and newsreaders started to receive embarrassingly large amounts of fan mail too. One such announcer, Stuart Hibbard, was a happily married man. But of course, that fact wasn't known to the hundreds of young ladies who found his voice attractive and wrote in to try their chances. The opportunity for gentle comedy was too much for Flotsam and Jetsam to resist. So Flotsam, B.C. Hilliam, penned a ditty called Little Betty Bouncer Loves an Announcer, and they sang it straight after the evening news. In his autobiography, Flotsam recalls, "The first performance of Betty Bouncer caused a stir in the studio, Hibbert's blushes mounting to the roots of his fair hair."
Little Betty Bouncer is kind to her people and a nice girl, more or less.
But at present, no joke, she's causing her folks no end of deep distress.
For she is quite mad about a man she's never met.
And it's all through an innocent crystal set.
Little Miss Bouncer loves an announcer down at the BBC.
She doesn't know his name, but how she rejoices when she hears that voice of voices.
Absolutely tireless, sitting at the wireless.
Poor little Miss B.
It's the man who announces with such a lot of passion in it.
The Daventry shipping forecast will follow in a minute.
Little Miss Bouncer loves an announcer down at the BBC.
She almost passes right away the silly little clown whenever he announces that the station's closing down.
You'd think from her behavior when he mentions oscillation that there wasn't any difference between that and osculation.
His voice must be peculiar. For the other afternoon, he spoke of Mr. Jetsam, and she fell into a swoon.
Another night she wept aloud and tore her flaxen tresses, because he hadn't mentioned her among the S.O.S.'s.
When she came to, this sentimental kid couldn't stand it any longer, and what do you think she did? Little Miss Bouncer wrote to the announcer down at the BBC.
The answer she received is worth reciting by return of post in plain handwriting.
fated. This is what it stated.
Dear little Miss B,
here's a picture of my babies, and the eldest is the laddie, who you may like to know is the image of his daddy.
To dear Miss Bouncer, from the wife of the announcer, down at the BBC.
Flotsam and Jetsam there with Little Betty Bouncer. This is Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. On October the 18th, 1920, a musical comedy opened on Broadway. It was written by Otto Harbach with music by Louis Hirsch. The name of the show was Mary, and it had a run of just 6 months before it was taken off. It transferred to England and then was never heard of again. Well, that's not quite true, because one song from the show somehow survived and went on to be used as a signature tune by a famous comedy double act. Here it is, recorded by Sidney Swift in early 1921, when the show was opening in London. It's called Love Nest from Mary, and I wonder if anyone remembers whose signature tune it was.
They have built for man, somewhat small and somewhat tall, long or wide or low. But the best one of them all, Jack built long ago, was built in bygone days. Jack Millions sing its praise. The love nest, cozy and warm, like a dove rests down on a palm, cover and with some sort of clinging vine. Then a kitchen where some rambler roses twine. Then a small room, set of blue, set of all room, dream room for two, better than a palace with a gilded dome, is a love nest you can call home.
Love Nest, from the musical comedy Mary in 1921, the tune that was to resurface many years later as the signature tune for the Burns and Allen comedy show. George Burns and Gracie Allen are remembered nowadays for their television shows of the 1950s and 60s, but their career started back in the 1920s as a vaudeville act. In the late 1920s, they came to England and broadcast their first radio programmes for the BBC. Records of them during that period are difficult to find, but I've come across just one in over 45 years of collecting. This copy is in dreadful condition, and I normally wouldn't consider broadcasting it, but as an historic document of Burns and Allen during their early years, it just has to be played. This is going to be the last record for today, so this is Adrian Tudnham, looking forward to having your company next week to listen to some more discoveries from Life Before Vinyl, and leaving you with some scratchy and faint memories of George Burns and Gracie Allen in one of their earliest sketches. It's called Dizzy.
Well, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Well, now that we're started, what are we going to do? Oh, I know what we'll do. I'm going to ask you something. You ask me the same thing, then I'll tell the answer. If I should say to you, why are apples green? You must say, I don't know, why are apples green? Do you understand that?
No.
No. Well, you wouldn't. Look, whatever I say, you say. Do you understand that?
Not very well.
It's going to be hard for you.
Yes.
Oh, I could see that. Well, anyway, here we go. What fella in the army wears the biggest hat?
Why are apples green?
I expected you to say that. Look, when I say what fella wears the biggest hat, you must say, I don't know what fella wears the biggest hat, whatever I say.
Oh.
Do you understand that?
Well,
here we go. What fella in the army wears the biggest hat?
The fella with the biggest head.
Yes, you understand that.
That was good.
That was too good. Somebody must be helping you.
Oh, no.
It's awfully good. Well, we'll try one more. What is it that sings and has four legs?
Two canaries.
I picked out a good game. They stepped right into your backyard. Well, this is the last one. What gives more milk than a cow? Two cows.
Oh.
That's that.
Well, I guess I'll be going home now.
Going home? Yes. I'll take you home in my car.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm too tired. I'd rather walk.
That's a very good answer.
But if you like, you can walk home with me.
Yes, I'll walk home with you. I'll walk home if you give me a kiss. I'll take you home.
Well, if you take me home, I'll give you a kiss.
But just a minute. Before I take you home, I would like to find out whether or not your mother is home.
She is, but my father wouldn't let you kiss my mother.
Oh, you're dizzy.
Oh, you're silly.
Well, I'd rather be silly than be dizzy.
I know I'm dizzy. I'm glad I'm dizzy.
You're the only dizzy girl that I know that's glad she's dizzy.
I'm glad I'm a dizzy girl because boys like dizzy girls and I like boys.
I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's finished.
And I'm glad I'm dizzy.
All right, this can go on for years. Let's talk of something else.
Oh, all right. Let's do something.
Let's do something.
Let's do crossword puzzles.
That would be fun.
I'm very good at them now, you know. I make them up.
Well, make one up.
All right. What is it that starts with C and, I don't know how many letters. What is it?
That's very good. You made that up.
That came right out of my own head.
I'd have it stuffed.
My head?
Your head.
Oh, I have brains, you know.
Have you?
Oh, I have brains I haven't even used yet.
I see. Well, leave them alone. Don't disturb them. It starts with C and you don't know how many letters. What is it? Does it jump?
No.
Does it swim?
No.
That's all right. Now give me another one.
Oh, no, you didn't guess that one.
Well, I give it up.
Well, look, men shave with it.
And it starts with C.
Yes.
Well, the only thing that I can think of that a man shaves with is soap.
Yes, soap, that's it. That's very good, George. Now you make one up.
Why don't you go to see a doctor, have him examine your head, and if the doctor finds a brain, have somebody examine the doctor.
How can we start this side?
We'll start with a riddle. Will that be all right?
Yes.
All right, we'll start. And what's the difference between kissing a girl 5 years ago and kissing a girl 50 years ago?
Oh, I don't know. What's the difference?
45 years.
Now, don't tell me. Let me think of the answer. No, I don't know. I give it up.
You give it up?
Yes.
Well, the answer is horse feathers. Do you see it now?
Horse feathers? Horse feathers? Horse... Oh, yes, now I see it. Oh, that's very good.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Oh,
you are kind of glad you're living.
Yes.
You're good and dizzy.
Yeah, I know I'm dizzy. I'm glad I'm dizzy. Boys like...
Fine. Now, we had that on the other side. I think we better sing.
Seeing is believing. That's a story old and true.
Don't believe all you hear. You've often heard that too.
You, dear, and I, dear, are exceptions to the rule.
You may think me giddy. Believe me, I'm no fool.
I love you, love you, love you, dear. I cross my heart, I do. Do you believe me?
I do.
You're the one and only girl I ever told that to. Do you believe me?
I do.
And if things went wrong in skies above a gray instead of blue, you wouldn't have to worry, cause I'd know just what to do. I'd get up early mornings, and I'd find a job for you. Do you believe me?
I do. I'd mend your hose and fix your clothes. That's what I do for you. Do you believe me?
I do.
I'd cook your favorite dish, cafilda fish, or
dum da dee da 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 dum.
We're dancing now. You can't see this, and it's lovely too. Right now, Miss Allen is kicking the back of her head. Maybe that's the trouble with her. You know, I think you're very smart. Smart girl. You're smart. Name three different kinds of nuts.
Walnuts and chestnuts.
That's two.
And forget-me-nuts.
I'm kind of smart myself.
Yes?
I was born in New York.
Oh, yeah. Funny things happen in London, too.
Do you like to love?
No.
Do you like to kiss?
No.
What do you like?
Lamb chop.
You're too smart for one girl.
Oh, I'm more than one.
More than one.
Yes. My mother has a picture of me when I was two.
Lovely. This is the finish. You've missed the dance.